I'm going to tell you a short story. We had a visitor in the farmhouse. She had a teacher, and her teacher told her the following. He gave her a cup of tea, and she was drinking the tea and holding the cup, and he said, "Let go of the tea." She looked at him. He said, "Let go of the tea." And she said, "Now?" He said, "Yes, let go of the tea." And she didn't know what to do. She was paralyzed. She's scalding hot tea. She didn't particularly want to drop it on herself. She said, "How do I do this?" And he said, "Here, give me the tea." She gave him the cup of tea, and he held it. And he said, "Now, tell me to let go of the tea." She said, "Let go of the tea." And he took the tea, and he went and put it on the table and sat back up. I found that a very profound story, because I think so many of us think letting go is a dramatic act, even a violent act, that it is a demonstration of our total commitment to our spiritual practice. It's jumping off the cliff, jumping off the diving board, throwing yourself into something, that is letting go. But it's such a wonderful demonstration that letting go need not be dramatic at all. You can literally put something down, even something you've been carrying for your whole life. We often don't have a sense of how easy it is. We often are led into the drama of spiritual practice and are attracted to the drama of spiritual practice because we want it to somehow be other than daily life. We want the spiritual experience to be big and explosive and transcendent. And Rudy was very clear to me from day one. He said, the spiritual life begins with making your bed in the morning. It wasn't moving to a monastery. It wasn't giving up all of your friends, cutting off all of your relationships with your family and anybody who ever caused you problems. It's none of that. It's taking it one step at a time, and it's being very simple. Rudy also used one word more than any other, or one phrase. And I think it used to perplex me enormously, and I think it perplexes a lot of people. Although I don't use it as often, I think it's very important. He always said, "Go deeper." And I had no idea what the process was to go deeper. How do you go deeper? Deeper into what? How do you perform depth? And I think one of my early responses to going deeper was to be dramatic. I would say, "I want to go deeper," and then I would cry. And I would bang my head on the floor, literally bang my head on the floor. "I want to go deeper, I want to go deeper." I would try all of these sort of machinations to create depth in myself. And none of it exactly worked. Not immediately. I think it really is important to understand what depth is in ourselves. I think the problem for most people is we do not recognize how superficial our existence is, how we live with this tiny little veneer above our lives, above our, what I often call the hysteria of our lives. We have this very, very thin film that we occupy that is relatively comfortable. I say relatively because we all know there are days where it's not at all comfortable. But there's this little tiny veneer. And Rudy kept saying, go deeper. And I didn't particularly want to get out of that little veneer of relative superficial comfort because it was a known entity. It was, even though it was some days very unpleasant, it was at least a known unpleasantness. And going deeper implied going to a place I did not know. So the question is, how do you go deeper? And what really is depth in your own practice? What is depth in your own life? And what does get most people into depth? Well, I'll tell you, one of the key ingredients to going deep is called pain or suffering. If you want to go deep, experience suffering. Because when you are suffering, there's one thing you want more than anything, which is the release from suffering. And when you try to get out of suffering in some very easy way, in some superficial way, it doesn't work. If you are really suffering, you say, oh, I wish I wasn't suffering. What, that has no impact. Please don't let me suffer anymore. Who are you talking to? Who hears you? What's the response to your desire not to suffer? The only way one can achieve a release from suffering and a release from pain other than medication and distraction, but something that's really profoundly altering, is to come from a place of enormous depth and to say, please, please help me. Please help me. A lot of people start with the dramatic. They start with the crying, the woe is me, why me, it's so hard, it's so difficult. It doesn't do a thing. But when you get to this place of saying, please help me, it is astounding the transformative power of that request. It's deep, not in the sense of dramatic, it's deep in the sense of simplicity. It's deep in the sense that it is invested in a true wish and a true need. And something in you goes inside and it really asks. It is deep because it touches your soul, because it comes from a place of reality. And when you come to that place, change occurs. Response occurs. When your child comes to you and says to you, I really want to do this, I really want to do that, you just dismiss them. It's just, it's an automatic response after a while. Oh yeah, right, okay. You know, you don't respond to the superficial needs of your children. But when they come to you and they are crying and they are in pain and they are hurting and they say, Mommy, Daddy, what do I do? They come to you with this incredible need. Your entire being goes out to them. Your entire energy focuses on that need and wants nothing but to solve that problem, to be there for them. God as parent, the universe as parent, has exactly the same response. The universe understands and responds to our need in the same way that a parent responds to a child's need. It comes from the essence of that parent and the essence of God as parent. It is provided. If you think going deep involves screaming and yelling and crying and all of that stuff, you will not be satisfied in the response from the universe. Even people in great pain have to get past their screaming to say, please help me. Please. And that gets attention much more firmly and much more deeply than all of the superficial yelling. But pain is not the only way to go deeper. Another way to go deeper is using your conscious wish. Conscious wish is a recognition, and this is very important in our lives, that we exist primarily as very superficial entities. That our lives are pretty much about nothing, or not very much of anything in the day-to-day. And the realization of that, and the realization of how much you really don't care very much about much except your pleasure and your discomfort, to go deeper is to recognize that, and then to say to yourself in some very profound and real place, I need to live a deeper life. I need to live a more invested life. I need to reach into a place in myself that is touching something real, rather than this endless superficial day-to-day experience that does not nurture, that does not feed, that does not help me on any level. The conscious recognition of that is where your spiritual life really comes into play as an act of wish, as opposed to an act of suffering and need. It comes simply because you have become aware that you can and need to be deeper. All of this is implying an asking. Everything I'm describing, whether it's asking in pain or asking through consciousness, you are asking for help. The asking for help implies a dialogue. Dialogue is at the core of going deeper, because you are addressing something. And you are probably not addressing your mind, you're probably not addressing your personality, because you've tried that before and it doesn't bring you very much. You can, if you walk around saying, I really need to buy a new coat, I really need to buy a new dress, I really need to get a Coca-Cola, oh yeah. Who are you talking to? You're talking to your mind, your body, the day-to-day operating system. But when the system's not working, or when the system isn't functioning properly or deeply, then you start talking to the designer, if you will, of the system. Then you go inside and say, the system's not working. Or I need to control this or work this from a much more profound place. And you go inside and you have this request. That request is the core of your dialogue with existence. You are asking as deeply as you possibly can for something to attend to you, attend to your desire or need. And the dialogue that you have is essentially a dialogue with, you can call it yourself, or the self, or God, or being itself. But it is an implication that there is a part of you that has something that can help it. And that's an enormous implication. Why is there something that can help you? Why do people in their great moments of need say, help me? Because there is something that can help you. Not only that it can help you, it is, as I described in parental terms, completely available and wanting to help you. So if you can get to a place of really saying, please help me to go deeper, to open, to be joyous, to be alive, to touch life, if you can ask from a place of depth and reality, this part of you that responds to the request comes through. It delivers. And it delivers based on the depth of your request. It is almost impossible to understand how completely the universe is geared to help us. The thing that obstructs the universe's ability to help us is our insufficiency, if you will, in our asking. Our shallowness in our asking. If you ask, say, I kind of want this, I kind of want that, the response from the universe will be, well, I'll kind of give you this and I'll kind of give you that. It won't satisfy, because you're not asking for a place that really is looking for satisfaction. You'll get what you want. In truth, you always get what you want. And the most bizarre part of our human existence is every one of us is living the life we want and the life we have asked for. Every single person. The life you have, as much as you love it or don't love it, is the life you have brought into being. And to own that is one of the most important parts of all of your spiritual and material development. Because you think life didn't give you what you wanted. It gave you exactly what you wanted. If you want something deeply, you will get it. Now, there are religions that are based on this, and actually that just walk around where you pray all the time for, I want a Mercedes. I want a huge career. I want this or I want that. And it's interesting, a lot of people who wish that deeply do get it. But the process of getting it is not the dramatic thing of letting go of that teacup and having total transformation. It's effort. If you really want this big thing, you have to put every effort in the world into getting that thing. Everything in the world. And you have to want it with the depth of your existence and your being. The problem is that many people understand, and this is really interesting for people who don't get what they want. Something in us knows we don't really want the Mercedes. We don't really want the career. That our true wish is deeper than that. And the true wish that the universe is hearing from you is not that I want these material, superficial things. What you want is something much more profound. What you want in your life, what we all want, is to be, if you will, alive, to be present, to be awakened to what is. That's really what we want. We want to attain the Satchitananda, this truth, consciousness, and bliss. We want to attain the very thing we already are. That is the true wish in ourselves. The true wish is to be this now, in complete opening, to be blissful in this very second of our existence. So here we are, trying to find a wish for something that's already there. You're wishing for something that you think is in the future. You're wishing for something you think is down the road. You're wishing to be happy, thinking happiness will come from the Mercedes or the career. When the true thing that you really deeply want, you are, as you're sitting here in this moment now. You are it. And if you really approach your spiritual life with a kind of emerging depth, which will come from pain or conscious wish, what you will be led to in your experience of that spiritual unfolding will be this moment. That's what you will be led to. How can that open up inside you? It depends completely on how deeply you are asking. If you say, please help me to open to what is. Please help me to accept what is. Please help me to be in this moment. And you ask from a place of pain, or you ask from a place of consciousness. All that matters is that you ask deeply. And if you ask deeply, this moment will reveal itself to you now. Right now. And the only thing that stands between you, that stands between you and knowing yourself right now, the only thing, another word Rudy used all the time, it's called resistance. For some reason, you, and I will add myself to the equation, we resist this. And we resist it, why? Because we live superficial lives. Because we like to stay in the realm of the known and the comfortable. And because truly to be in the moment is to accept a vastness of reality that this superficial aspect is only a tiny reflection of. So to truly say, I wish to be present in this moment, is to accept the infinity of your being, the infinity of existence. And that's what we're trying to do as we sit here in this class and in our meditation every day. We are trying to find the depth to really be willing to open to totality of our being, the totality of our being. That's all we're trying to do. It is a huge thing because as soon as you get past the superficial part, you are in the world of unknowing. There is no way to know what will be there, but you will be there because you are there. The mind cannot grasp it. You cannot understand it. There is no way you will know what to do with it, but you will recognize that you are it. And that's the thing we work for every time we sit, in a sense, every time we get out of bed in the morning and make our bed, every time we're in the shower, we are finding this path toward this deep awakening to the moment that we're in. That's our life. That's what we're doing. And either you're participating in it consciously, or you are living that very unconscious, superficial life that leads nowhere, but is a part of this vastness that is really going on at the same time. It's never not there. You are never not there, except in your mind, which is often and most primarily not there. So find the depth in yourself and realize that it is not something you have to do dramatically. You don't have to throw yourself off a bridge. You don't have to jump off the cliff. You don't have to do this in some huge, incredibly dramatic way. You just have to go, please help me to let go of all of my superficiality and just be one with myself. Done. Any questions today? I'm not going to be back for a couple of months. So you understand everything. That's so wonderful. I appreciate you guys being here today. I appreciate your coming to the classes that we have and the teachers who've been teaching. And I do miss you all when I'm not here a lot. And I'm grateful that you're here. You're in my heart the whole time, truly. And as you probably know, I keep making these recordings from one part of the continent so the other part of the continent can hear what went on the other side. I don't know if you need to hear them or if you want to hear them, but I just remind you the talks are available, and they're not really Bruce Rubin talks so much as they're just something expressing this thing that we all collectively seem to know and need to be reminded of weekly, if not daily, or moment to moment. So thank you again. I have to go to my brother's gathering for my brother's 60th birthday was this weekend, so I'm going to be leaving shortly after I give you all a hug, so I can't hang around too much, really. But thanks for coming, and I will see you in September.